World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good Friday morning here. Friday the 17th, 2026. We'll take communion here, so get yourself some elements to take it. Joe got up nice and early for us out there on the West Coast. And appreciate all of you joining. And I had a conversation with Chad. Spoke to Chad. Chad and I don't talk a lot, but Chad called me what would have been late in the night last night. And we had a great, good discussion, over an hour, actually. Some good stuff. And I continue to ask myself, identity crisis maybe here. Maybe we'll talk about it after communion today. We'll see. What is this show about? Why do you come here? Now, by that, I mean, do you come here for conspiracy theories? Do you come here for spiritual nourishment? Do you come here for fellowship with like-minded people? What makes you guys get up at 7 in the morning? So Joe's at 4 in the morning out there. What is this about? Because I want you to know, and I'm talking to Chad last night, I ain't changing anything just to be popular, to have a bunch of followers. But it's good to know what it is that draws you, why you come here, what you need, what is it? And you know, there's probably be 100 different responses people would answer that. But I want you to know this, when I get up every morning and I prepare the show, it really ain't about me. I'm not trying to make myself a big star. I'm not trying to make myself the authority. I'm not trying to make myself the expert. I'm trying to figure out how to tap in to this crazy world that we see around us. And the more I dig, I don't know about you guys, the more I dig, the more fake stuff I see. Would anybody out there put a thumbs up and say, that can't be real. That can't be real. And look what they did to us. Look how they literally changed America with COVID. Folks, we're not the same country we were 4 years ago because of COVID and all that. What's going on? I'm going to dig into some of that maybe after we do communion. But Joe, before we do communion, Spencer, if you could pull up for me, what is communion? And by the way, for those of you who grew up in church, how often did you take communion in church? Now, we as Catholics, I was raised Catholic, we took communion every Mass. Sometimes, some people went to Mass 5 days a week, 7 days a week. I'm sorry, some people did. Some people went once a week. Some went once a month. Every service in the Catholic Church, there was communion. And then you go into Protestantism, where, you know, that's where many of you grew up. Hey, Gene, when you were a kid, or you were a young man in church, how often did you take communion, Gene? Do you remember?
Once every 3 months sometimes.
It wasn't the focus of the service, was it? And in the Catholic theology, that it is the focus of the service, is the communion at the end. Anybody else out there remember? How often you took communion?
Once a month.
Once a month? Yeah, maybe. Why? What's the purpose of communion? So I just, Joe, before we get going, I just dug this up here this morning and thought just to be kind of, Joe said quarterly. Jesus said, as often as you do this in remembrance of me. Now, does that mean you have to do it in a church service? Do you have to go to church? I'm going to confess right now. I was really convicted as I was coming down the steps. I ought to do this regularly with my wife. I ought to sit on one side of the table and she sit on the other side of the table, and I ought to hold her hands. We ought to pray. And Michelle and I ought to take communion together daily. Why don't we? Well, probably in many of the religious traditions that you were brought up in, you weren't ordained. You couldn't do the proper process to transfer it from wine, grape juice. I'm sorry. Yeah, grape juice to blood. You didn't have the personal power to be able to do that. Only some priest could do it for you, or some elder, or you're with me, right? You're all with me. When Jesus said, as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. So if you want to remember Jesus, seems to me you'd do a lot more, wouldn't you? You'd do it a lot more. And even in the show, sometimes I'll get feedback from people who say, okay, it's communion, let's get on with it. Well, I get it. It's because we don't understand. We don't understand the magnificent power of the body and blood of Jesus. That's why I understand it. So I just pulled up today, before Joe, I'm going to kick it off to you here in a second. 7 reasons why we take communion. Cool down, Spence. It's called the Lord's Supper, by the way, Lord's Supper. Number one, it's a memorial to our Savior's love for us. He said, do this in remembrance of me. He has said that to us. Would you guys do this? And every time you do this, think about me. Remember me when you do this. You do this. Number two, scroll on down. I'm not going to go in depth about it. Number two, it's proclaiming the gospel. Every time believers take communion, they proclaim the Lord's death and resurrection till he comes. That's 1 Corinthians 11:26, public statement of faith. Number three, it's an acknowledgement of the new covenant. Folks, it wasn't communion before Christ died. It wasn't communion then. And Christ died on the cross, and he shed his blood. And he said, in remembrance of me, do this a lot, will you? Will you do this a lot? Will you remember what I did? Number four, it unites the body of Christ. I don't know Gene's spiritual background or RL's or Charlene's or Berean's or Christy Henderson's or John Anderson's. I don't know your spiritual background, your theological roots. But we can all come in here together and sit down and eat. For we, though many, are one bread and one body. And it doesn't matter what denomination you are, what you're coming out of, we all serve the same Christ. And communion is, what does it mean to be in communion with people? It's unification of our common love for our Savior and for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Pretty important, really, if you think, just even from that. Number five, it says we're partaking in spiritual nourishment. The elements of the bread and wine are symbolic of the spiritual food and drink. They nurture the soul and serve as a means of grace, strengthening believers' faith and commitment to Christ as they partake in communion. All around the world, people are doing this same thing in remembrance of Christ. It's a unifying thing. Number six, it's an anticipating of Christ's return. We don't really believe he's coming back, though. I mean, we have a head knowledge that he is. We have a head knowledge. But we really don't believe. Are you telling me you really believe the world's going to end? You really believe that? World without end, amen. You really believe that? You really believe that the eastern sky is going to split and Jesus is going to return riding on white horses with vesture dipped in blood? Do we really believe that? Joe said that end of the age. What's the end of the age? Are we really near the end of the age? The Lord's Supper is a foretaste of the great banquet we'll share with Christ in his kingdom. Each time Christians take communion, they look forward to the second coming with hope and joy. Can I confess to you? I don't look forward to the second coming with hope. I mean, I do, but I don't get up every day and think about the second coming of Jesus. I get up every day and think about how I can best emulate him, proclaim him, share him. Because we all know this, right? You could wake up tomorrow dead. In other words, you could not wake up tomorrow. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. And even though we're not supposed to be driven by natural things, we would be lying if we said we weren't. We would also be lying if we didn't realize that modern American Christianity has made it more about the blessings of God rather than the duties and responsibilities that we have towards him. Vinny, that would have been a boom right there. You draw a crowd because you want to go to church because all the good stuff Jesus is going to give you. Right? When it's a sacrifice, this is a sacrificial life we live. Once we come to Christ, we present our bodies a living sacrifice. Isn't that what it says? Holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. It's the least we can do to be on fire, full go, pop the clutch for Christ. And we're not. Not. Because we've made the gospel once not. And then number seven, we examine ourselves. Paul urges us in 1 Corinthians to examine ourselves before taking the Lord's Supper. Communion provides a sacred place for self-reflection, repentance, and a renewed commitment to follow Jesus wholeheartedly. When I was growing up in the Catholic Church, all I know is his priest stood up there and he did something, and then we all went row by row, got in line, went up and took it. And I didn't understand communion, but don't know if I still do. The Bible says, as Joe often tells us, it's a meal that heals. A meal that heals. What? Healing power within it? Communion provides a sacred place of self-reflection, repentance, and a renewed commitment to follow Jesus wholeheartedly. Taking communion is a profound moment where the spiritual and the physical intersect. It offers believers an opportunity to connect with the reality of Christ's sacrifice, celebrate the new covenant, strengthen their faith, unite with fellow Christians, anticipate the return of Jesus, and introspectively align their lives with God's will. It's pretty good, isn't it? Pretty good. So once a week here, I don't know why once a week, but once a week here, we take communion, Holy Communion, Holy Encounter. I don't know how that this thing becomes the body of Jesus Christ. I don't get it. Transubstantiation, they taught me in my Catholicism. I think it's a piece of bread. I think it supernaturally somehow is embedded with the body of Christ. That we are spiritual beings, not flesh beings. So the death and burial of Jesus Christ, although it has physical affinities, blessings, it ain't about physical, folks. It's about spiritual. It's a physical act representing a spiritual thing that happened in our heart. Confess your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we just amen it when we take the body and blood that he laid for us. That's kind of the way I see it. And we don't reverence probably the way we should. I remember in the Catholic Church, maybe some of the other Catholics out there remember that. I remember when priests sometimes, when he was giving people communion, I don't know if you guys know this, in the Catholic Church, you actually go up. The priest actually puts it in your mouth. And did you know if he dropped it on the ground? They had to do a special cleansing right then. Go get some holy water, wipe up on the floor where it'd fallen, and yada, yada, yada. Because they took the idea that it was the body of Christ very, very seriously. And now, sadly, communion is just kind of something we do. When it's supposed to be much deeper, traditions of men. much deeper spiritually than what we're permitted to do. So there's my lecture for the day. Joe, come on in and lead us in this, brother.
Thank you, Coach. Well, I recall that I think somebody has a microphone open or something. I recall that we need to take it seriously and ask forgiveness for our sins before we take communion to be in the proper spiritual situation or perspective. Otherwise, it's not a good thing. And we often,
if you take it unworthily, Joe, it doesn't want to say you speak, it's damnation to you if you take it unworthily.
Exactly. If you take it with a scoffing attitude, not in the manner meant that it is meant to be taken. So it's not something that you just do as a joke or anything. It's Amen. Real. Amen. Really important. The reading this morning is 2 Corinthians 5, 14 to 21. For the love of Christ constraineth us.
Whoa. What, Joe, we need a lesson here. What's it mean to constrain? Spencer, come on, man. $5 tip coming your way. What's it mean to constrain? Sorry, Joe, it's important. Words mean things. Words mean things. Constrain. Whoa. Doesn't show it. Constraineth. Doesn't show it. No results found. How can that be? Define constrain. Third person, singular, present, indicative. Constrain. It means constrain. Which what? What's constrain mean? Come on, man. It's crazy.
Hold back. Hold back.
Hold back. Thank you. Constrain. Constrain. To compel or force. To urge with irresistible power. Wow. To confine by force, to restrain from escape or action, to hold by force, to press, to confine, to constringe, to bind, to tie fast, to necessitate. So what was that word again, Joe? Sorry, the spirit moved on me. The love of Christ binds us, locks us down, holds us. Go ahead, Joe.
Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead.
Dude.
And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves.
Wow.
But unto him which died for them and rose again.
We are his bond servant. You understand? You know what a bond servant is? We're a servant of his because there's a bond on our life. He paid something for us. So therefore, when he posted our bond, we become his servant. That's the way it's supposed to work. He didn't serve us. Go ahead.
Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh.
Wow.
Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more.
By the flesh, we know him by the Spirit.
Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature.
That'd be me. Anybody else? Would that be anybody else? Huh? I'm a new creature. I was born again. I'm a brand new creature. You can't explain it to somebody, but I am. Go ahead.
Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ.
What? What does it mean to reconcile? It means to kiss and make up, doesn't it? But actually, it means more than that. Reconcile is a math term, balancing of the books. And all things are of God, who hath balanced the books by Jesus. Wages of sin is death. Some you sin, somebody's got to die. Jesus died and he balanced the book. He reconciled us back to God. He didn't cancel the debt, he paid it. Go ahead.
And hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation.
Wow. Quit holding grudges, folks. Stop holding grudges.
To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself.
Man.
Not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation.
Okay, time out. Sorry, I just feel an unction. Hey, Spence, what's it mean to impute? To impute. To charge, to attribute, or to set to the account. Right? Huh? And therefore, it was imputed to him. What? He was charged with your sin. He paid the punishment. He paid the fine, which was death. It was imputed to him, the trespasses. They were put on him. And he did that because he committed us the word of reconciliation. Keep going then. Wow, this is deep.
And hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ.
Wow. Hang on. Sorry, Joe. For the slow learners in the back, Spencer, what's an ambassador? Wow. See, this is ambassador. That ambassador, you see that? See ambassador, try that one. A minister of the highest rank employed by one prince or state at the court of another to manage the public concerns of his own prince or state. A representative, the power and dignity of his sovereign. What are we again, Spence? Go back to that scripture. We are his representatives. Now that we are ambassadors, his representatives, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray in Christ's stead. We stand in representation of Christ as an ambassador, that others might be reconciled to God. Go ahead, Joe. Am I doing okay, Joe?
Oh,
I don't mean to keep interrupting you, huh? Words mean things, folks.
As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God.
Wow.
For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin.
Wow.
That we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
That is too deep for us to explain or understand. How something can be imputed, that he can take my sin and take it off of me and put it on somebody else. Imputed.
It was an exchange, a swap.
A swap. We swapped lives, didn't we, Joe?
A trade.
Swapped our lives for his life.
The biggest transaction. The biggest transaction in history.
Mm-hmm. That we would be his ambassadors, his representatives into this foreign land that we find ourselves in. And as ambassadors into this foreign land we find ourselves in, what kind of ambassador would remain silent when the enemy is destroying what's going on? If we're an ambassador, we are required to speak on our king's behalf.
If you think about it spiritually, Coach, if you picture someone ragged in chains, not had a bath in months, being swapped for a high-ranking member of the court representing the sovereign. It's a huge transformation from being
greater love has no man than this, Joe, then he would lay down his life for his
a condemned sinner to being an ambassador. That
condemned sinner.
We don't think about it that way.
No, we don't. We're his friends. We're his buddies. We're Christ's buddies. We're to represent when they're talking bad about him. We got to speak up. Say, no, dude, no. Right? That's what we're supposed to do. We're ambassadors. And what do they teach us? Keep your faith to yourself. Exact opposite. I'm sorry, Joe. This is all over me, man.
Well, okay. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you again in gratitude, but I believe with a little bit more understanding, a little bit more gratitude. But we realize now of an inkling of the transaction that was done for our sakes. Literally, we were condemned to death in chains of sin, and we have been transformed into your righteousness, Lord, and to be your ambassador. It is profound. Capital P, all capitals, profound. It's hard for us to comprehend, but we're trying. And I think right now we have a little bit better understanding of what has been done for us and what has been offered to us for those who have not accepted Christ. It's profound. It's the biggest transaction that has ever been done on a spiritual basis, ever. And Lord, we're grateful for the awakening that's happening in our country and around the world, that we don't pretend to understand all the ways you are moving, but we can clearly see that you are moving. And of all of us here on this call and listen to this, we often have different ideas, different perspectives from who is on which side, who has which motives, and we don't understand, Lord. We really don't. So I ask, Lord, that you let our discernment grow with our faith. Let our discernment grow. Let us understand better what's happening and help open the eyes of those around us. Amen. With love and with understanding, and let us Amen. Be there to help them understand when they start to wake up, because Lord, I believe a lot of people are going to be waking up as they stop drinking the Kool-Aid of the system of
Amen.
Mainstream theoretical news, which is more propaganda and manufactured lies with an agenda. When we finally start understanding what's really happening, we will be truly waking up and truly free. That's what our Lord said, the truth will set us free. And with truth, I believe that means understanding the truth. When you understand the truth, you're no longer held by the bonds of the lies. And Lord, we ask again for our sister Tina Peters, wrongfully imprisoned. We ask again that you judge that so-called justice system in that once great state of Colorado that has really, our eyes fallen. It really has fallen, Lord. wake up the true justice system. Wake up those who can do something within our justice system about the abuses that have been done there. And let the truth wake up that state and open their eyes. And let what happens there with that awakening to spread across the country like a wildfire.
Amen.
And Lord, help us to understand what we need to do as your ambassador. Help us to really understand and not to deny you, not to pretend that we don't know who you are or we are not your servants and ambassadors when somebody says a false thing about you or represents you in the wrong way. Let us stand up for you, but do it in a manner of love. And let us know when it's time to turn over the tables in the temple. That is not every time. It's only when your righteous anger is justified for us to act in that manner. And that's not every time, Lord. It's only those times when that's appropriate. And we remember that this can be the meal that heals. We pray that it is so, that our peppercorn of faith grows and we are able to be healed with this meal. I recall now a couple months ago when I was not well, and I said that in this prayer, and 2 hours later, I woke up and I was beyond the illness that had me in its grips, and I was freed from it. So I know that it can be the meal that heals. We just need to have the faith to receive that healing. And Lord, we ask that you forgive us our sins and transgressions and bring us cleansing to your sight as we take this Holy Communion. And we also pray for the people of Iran that they soon be allowed to join us publicly online in communion, Lord, without fear of execution. We really can't understand what those people have endured and are still enduring. But we know that they have hope. So we pray not just for their hope, Lord, but we pray that you can continue to conceal those who would be executed for their beliefs, and at the same time, let them share the gospel. It's hard to fathom how that church can be the fastest growing church on the planet. But it is, Lord. How do they do it? How do they do it? Let us learn from them and give us that kind of commitment, that kind of devotion, that kind of love for you that is as though those who would be executed for admitting they're your ambassador. We don't understand that, Lord. And so we are grateful. And please let us learn to take communion alone or with our families at home on a regular basis and to make it a personal promise to ourselves and to you so that we were perhaps not able to do this together online or at our local church, we still remember you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come."
As often as you do it. As often, not as rare as you do it. As often as you do it. Amen. Amen. Thanks, Joe.
Thank you, Coach.
Amen. Amen. Hey, I just, as Joe was praying there, I don't want, this is not an appeal for money. Folks, I want you to know the importance for you as a believer to have a generous heart. I'm talking financially. And I've told you this before. It happened the other day again. I was in line at Kroger's. I wear my cross hat everywhere I go. I was in line at Kroger's, and some lady's in line in front of me. She got a kid in a stroller, a kid she's holding on her arm. She's carrying his stuff, and she puts it down, and they run up the bill. And I look at it, the bill. It's $16.78. And I said to the cashier, "I'll buy that for her." She looked at me. She said, "Sir, you don't have to do that." I said, I know I don't have to do that. But I'm so proud of you that obviously you're sacrificing for those beautiful children. And I just want you to know that I appreciate it. Do you have any idea what that $17 did in the heart of that woman? And most of Christianity is designed, come on now, to give the money to the church, who will then divvy it out. They've trained us that we have to give our money to the church. How about giving the money to people who need it? How about that? How about being a ministry to others who are hurting financially? Now, I'm not talking about going out and handing $20 to some guy standing on the corner holding a sign. That's not what I'm talking about. Took our family. Everybody has a job in my family. We went out golfing the other day. We don't get a chance to do that very often. And I told the guys I had to go to the bathroom, ran in real quick and did whatever. And when I come back out, they're standing at the counter. And they said, "What's going on?" I said, "What do you mean?" She says, "It's already paid for." I said, "Who says that?" She said, "Well, the lady here, she says it's already paid for." I said, "Yeah, I paid for it." And then they wanted to fight over whether or not I should have to pay for it. I said, "Dude, this is money. You're raising families. I want to help." Hey, friends, how hard is that to do? How hard is that to do? And I hate to tell you this. Oh, I don't know how I got on this, but I'm going to finish riding it. that they've taught you that you have to tithe to your church. Really? God sitting up there making sure you're giving 10%? He wants your heart. He don't care about your money. He wants your heart. And I think we would do a better job of expanding the kingdom of God if we walked that out more. I don't know why I said that, but I think it matters. We've become so focused on living financially. It's getting tougher, right? Everything's going up. I get it. If it's tough for you, how tough is it for your children? How tough is it for your neighbor? How tough is it for that friend of yours that's living on Social Security, whatever the hell that means? Just a thought, huh? Hey, how about this one? Pull up number one. Good news. I got some good news. JR, I got some good news. Huh? Yeah, I got some good news. Tennessee declares June Nuclear Family Month. And they drop Pride Month. Who did? Tennessee. A new Tennessee law declaring June as Nuclear Family Month and not Pride Month. You understand what's going on? You understand? Those folks down in Tennessee said, hey, sorry, we ain't celebrating Pride Month. We're going to celebrate families. Now, nuclear family, they didn't use JR's term, natural family. They're getting close. Because we do know this, right, folks? The only way you can have a natural family is a man and a woman. two men can't have a natural family. They can have a nuclear family. They can't have a natural. But at the same time, JR pounding that hammer. Why aren't we doing this in Ohio? Why won't our elected officials stand up and declare Natural Family Month? Why are we ashamed of Natural Family Month? Why are we?
No backbone.
No backbone, baby. No backbone. Do you have any idea that the majority of Americans do not support gay marriage, homosexual marriage? You understand that, right? They don't. And what the hell's wrong with the politicians that they can't see that? You know what it is? The gay lobby is vocal. God's lobby hides. Some of them don't even vote. It's survival. So tip of the cap, JR. Keep pounding, JR. Keep pounding. We need to do that here in Ohio as well. Number two, almost just a couple of things I want to get up there so you know what's going on. Number two here in good old Ohio. Pull that up, Spence. Huh? Students are protesting the Wexner Center at Ohio State University. They want the Wexner name, Epstein, pulled off of the buildings at Ohio State, including the football stadium, Ohio Stadium. It's real short. Play it. It's just students. Redacted. There's hope for us, isn't there, folks? There's a hope for us. Les Wexner, we know what Les Wexner is and what he was, and yet we sit silently by and allow buildings to be named after him. God bless those people. God bless them. I'm looking over here. Pull up number nine. No. Yeah, number nine. See if it pops up. ChatGPT. I really don't even know what it means. But look over here on the side. Make it bigger on the side here, Spencer. Okay, right over here. I want to be able to read that for everybody. ChatGPT, this is the command this person, Santos Kentu, I don't know who it is, read into ChatGPT. Using every single verse in the Bible about the earth and the world, make an image using only those verses and no outside influences. Not modern science-based, but what the Bible says without using any other kind of influences again. I want you to build a model or a map of the earth based only on what the Bible says. They spoke that into ChatGPT. Maybe Mark Trump can explain this better to us. And look what was created. Look what was created. Can you make that bigger, Spencer? Huh? Oh, my goodness. Heavens. The thrones of heaven. ChatGPT. The firmament of heaven. Waters, moon, the stars are in the firmament. The sun, the stars, the moon shows the windows of heaven. ChatGPT, this ain't some biblical source. The Garden of Eden, the kinds of the earth, the fish and all that, the great deep. Anybody noticing something? Sorry. This ain't a globe. The sea of the deep. The foundations of the earth. Wow. Sheol under the earth. The abyss of the deep. And isn't it interesting? It's both flat and round. All right. What do you think? What do you think? Make it a little bit smaller so they can get a... This is what ChatGPT tells us. The Bible teaches us about the cosmos. Go ahead, Mark. Come on in. I was hoping you'd be out there.
My question is, Coach, when the sun comes up over there at the left, what part of the earth is at nighttime?
Just the opposite
is above the flatness. Where is it dark? Where is it nighttime?
On the other side.
Over there where the moon is.
Oh, in Sheol. Or do the mountains cover up the sun from the other part of the earth? Is that it? The mountains?
Wow.
Do mountains block all the light? Is that it?
Nope. No, sure don't.
Oh, well, maybe when it goes down, it shoots across through Sheol and pops back up on the other side.
What's your point?
Hey, I'm just asking a question like you've taught me. I'm asking a question. Whenever the sun's up, where is it night? How does the night fall across the earth like you see it during nighttime? In the U.S., it follows across the U.S. It gets dark. You can follow it in your car. But the sun's up.
Maybe it revolves around the earth like a clock.
Ah, okay. Maybe the sun's got a shadow on it and only lets part of the earth see it. Maybe it's got a big shield up there on part of the sun or something.
Mark, here's what I noticed, Mark. ChatGPT, using only the Bible, gives us a different view of what they've taught us in science.
Might be an agenda, Coach.
Yeah, might be an agenda. I don't know. What's the theme here? Who told you that?
Who told you that?
And why do you believe?
When the sun goes down, does Sheol light up in daytime? Is that how it works?
I'm going to call Copernicus and see if he can't maybe.
Now, this is such an easy theory for everyone to understand. Where's the four corners? I thought it's round. Why is it round? What made it round, not square? Why is it a round flat earth, not a flat one? Not a square one, like a piece of paper?
Hey, can I step in here?
Or is it a big long flat earth, like a poster board?
Can I step in here? I keep hearing this question about the four corners that's in the Bible. It works either way if you know geometry. There's something called the tetrahedron, which equally divides a sphere into four parts. It has four corners. And it's also, of course, the square you know of in two dimensions. It holds either way geometrically. There's a clear and precise answer, if you understand it. So anyway, I keep hearing people throw that out, and I had to interrupt this time because there is an answer to that.
But the truth is, we don't understand geometry, let alone cosmetology. We really don't have all we know about the cosmos is what they've told us, really. Really.
And Coach, you know, that's why if you look at that, that's why our sins are, he forgives our sins or whatever. It throws as far as the east is from the west.
That's right.
So if you look at that flat, because if you look at the whole globe, like, it's just a thought. But if you, you know, like if you go east, you keep going, you know, you keep going around and around, you know. Yep. Kind of interesting.
Yep. Okay, so look. Folks, I'm not here to take a position on this at all, but I found this quite fascinating, to be honest with you, right? What the deep, what is the deep? Well, we see what the deep is, the abyss of the deep. And we see the heavens, and we see the firmament of heaven. Now, folks, this is from ChatGPT. Mark, if I understand it, it's unbiased. You feed information, you ask a question, and it gives you the information. No, I'm not here. Hey,
Coach, I could do this with ChatGPT, and it'd be a round earth. It'd be a sphere. It's all in the prompt. Somebody prompted ChatGPT to do this. I could create a prompt to do a spherical. I could create a prompt to do a square one. Like the Borg has. I could draw a square earth with ChatGPT. It'd be real simple. ChatGPT is a tool, Coach. It's a tool. It's not truth. Okay.
Mark, where is the abyss?
Center of the earth.
The center of the earth is the abyss. Do we believe that, folks? Do we believe that there's an abyss? I don't know. Jeff Nares, come on in. Hey, look, I'm not saying this is real. I'm saying this is what ChatGPT came up with. Go ahead, Jeff.
Well, I don't know. All I know is I've flown all over the world. I've been to five major mountain ranges where I've seen the curvature of the earth, no matter what shape it is. And I've seen the sun in one trip, just one trip with three different flights. Over the course of about 38 hours, I've seen the sun rise and set twice, and then a sunrise again, all within that time period from traveling. Makes me feel like it's round. Yeah. A lot of people are thinking it's flat, but I don't know.
Yeah, it's a dome. Could it be a dome? It could be a dome.
It's got to be a pretty big dome.
That's crazy, isn't it? Isn't it really crazy? And can I tell you the truth? All of science, I don't think we really know, do we? We can do all the experiments we want, and we don't really know. You say, but Coach Dave, they went to the moon and they took pictures, and we saw it's round. Well, that's if you believe it. If you believe the pictures, I don't know. Really, be honest with you, I don't really care. Other than understand,
it doesn't matter.
The power of deception. That's all. Just the power of deception. That's all I'm talking about. It don't matter to me. Wherever heaven is, that's where I'm heading. I don't know wherever it is. And I want to stay away from that shield, wherever that is. And I don't care whether the earth's round or flat. God's in all the dimensions. Jeff Klein, come on in.
Coach, couple questions. Are we still killing and murdering babies in the womb?
We are.
Are we destroying kids in kindergarten, first grade, and second grade? Destroying? Yeah. This is just my thought. I've thought this for quite a while. And I ain't into all this flat earth stuff. I just, as a
68-year-old man. I just believe it's round. You know what I mean? And it doesn't make a hill of beans to me.
I'm with you.
Just talked about, you don't want to go to Shield. We'll find out someday the truth on some of this stuff, but I think we got to focus more on the more important things right now than all the, and I, you know, I like, it's good to talk about the Nephilim and the flat earth and all this stuff, have conversation with people. It's interesting, but we got to drop the focus on all this stuff. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's just crazy. That's it. Amen.
It's about saving souls, getting souls. We say that, but we don't live it. We don't walk it. Man, I only got 5 minutes left. Jack, go. And then P.S. Go ahead, Jack.
Nope, that was Jeff. Jeff said it all. Knock off the crap. Let's figure out how to win the battle.
Because it's all divide and conquer, isn't it?
It's all divide and conquer. You want to disprove the flat earth? Look at that guy that went up in whatever that kind of plane was, and did a skydive from 100,000 feet, whatever it was. He jumped off that plane or platform, and that takes care of it for me. The guy jumped out of the plane and free fell, and the picture is a sphere that he's coming down to. Give me a break. Let's do something for real. I want to fight the fight, not – I don't want to go bowling.
Amen, Jack.
Yep, amen. Hey, folks, but this is the stuff we're focusing on, isn't it? None of this is salvation-based. But at the same time, we got to realize – is the devil loose? Deceptions, lies, deception. Oh, man. Johnny, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Coach. Hey, I totally agree about the earth. I mean, in my heart of hearts, I really believe that the earth is round, or at least teardrop shaped. But going to the point about him being way above the earth and looking down, I've got a friend they're flat earth people, and they use the excuse that the lenses in the cameras are what shape that look of the earth to make it look round. It's like, you can't talk sense to people.
No, you can't. No. And listen, so folks.
I just wanted to say that.
All right, John, I'm trying to hurry. I got a couple more. Hey, folks, look. God's outside time and space. We can't conceive that. He's outside time and space. He's not inside the globe. He's outside of it. P.S., come on in. I find out his real name. Go ahead. Come on in.
Don't eyeballs look a lot like the earth? Yeah. Wouldn't the creator create similar? Doesn't he create similar things over and over again? So why aren't our eyes flat? Why aren't our eyes flat?
Why aren't our eyes flat? What do you think, George? Why aren't our eyes flat?
Okay. I'm just going to say this.
You got a minute and a half.
Okay, fine. In 1987, I'm in school. They show us that Challenger blow up. That girl's still alive. They're still alive. Their teacher's out there in Libville. They're still alive. It's a lie. The earth's flat. It's fish goggles. In the planes, every plane, it's flat.
Cool. Doesn't matter to me one way or another. All I know, lies, deceptions, and fear. Oh, my. Mm-hmm. And what? Distraction, and distraction. When the reality of it, every one of us is going to leave this natural plane. We're going somewhere. You know, no matter whether it's flat or round or square or diagonal. Brett, quickly.
Roger that. Good morning. So that camera is called a fisheye lens. Right? And there's no doubt when he jumped out of that capsule and skydived 100,000 feet, that was a fisheye lens camera. So when you look at the different pictures that NASA gives us, they're so different every time we see the earth. Right. And you can't change the shape of the earth while you're in outer space. You can't do that. So anyway, it's the coach you said, lies, deception, and fear.
And know what I like about this?
And we're being lied to so many ways, and I think
you're
that's
not afraid
one of
to ask questions here. And folks, you're going to ask questions, and people are going to call you a nut because why? They have been brainwashed brainwashed. Thank God for the meal that heals. Have a great weekend. See you on Monday.